Hey, everybody. We are so excited today to welcome Katie Grimes to Unfiltered Waters. Katie is particularly special because not only is she fabulous in the pool, she is also fabulous in open water. Katie is a four-time world championship medalist. She is a two-time Olympian. She swam in Tokyo and was the first athlete to qualify for the 2024 Olympic Games in Paris in the 10K open water race. Katie is incredible. She can do it all. We learned so much about open water from her, which was so much fun. How she balances both open water and in pool swimming, how she's dealing with the fact that she's already made the team in open water, but still really wants to make it in pool and is focusing so hard on Olympic trials right now. We talk about her family, her interests, her love of old cars, and how she stays 17 years old. She is wise beyond her years, and this conversation was so fun, and we learned so much. We know you will as well. So please enjoy. Sleep is the foundation to performance and longevity. It is either enhancing your performance or holding you back from your highest potential. Dream Recovery is committed to just that, helping people sleep as well as possible so they can conquer the day. Dream Recovery believes in the power of evidence-based solutions to optimize sleep and recovery.
Yes, and everyone deserves to feel their best, and that starts with a great night's sleep. So many of our own Unfiltered Waters guests use Dream Recovery's sleep mask and mouth tape, including Carson Foster and Michael Andrew, and they swear by how much it has helped their sleep and performance in the pool. Visit dreamrecovery.io to have your best sleep ever. Use code UNFILTERED for 30% off your entire order and 50% off your first month of Dream Tape. Sweet dreams.
Hey everyone, we just wanted to give a super special shout out to our amazing production staff over at Cannonball Media. We have an amazing team behind this podcast and we couldn't do it without them. So thank you so much for all of your help.
If you're looking to start your own podcast, they take care of everything from A to Z. So reach out to cannonballmedia.co.
Awesome. Well, Katie Grimes, welcome to Unfiltered Waters. We are so excited to have you, especially as the first USA women to qualify for Paris in 2024. We are so excited for you.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, what an accomplishment. I remember seeing that. I don't think a lot of people realize that that race came down to a tenth of a second after a 2 hour and 2 minute long swim. You clinched your spot in Paris by 1/10 of a second, which is incredible.
I feel like if you had to convert that to say, like, even, I don't know, like 100 meter freestyle, I feel like that'd be like
0.0000001.
That's like what I was thinking about. Like, let's put that into reference for people of actually how close that is. And like over the course of two, I feel like that is like a thousandth of a second, which is like blink.
Oh my gosh, it's so wild. But first athlete, we're so excited for you. It was so special to see the excitement around the community. Did you feel that after you had that qualification, after you knew you'd made the team? Did you feel all that love and support from everyone?
Oh yeah, like 100%. Not only was it cool just to like, first of all, my parents were there too, which was really cool to have them like there to celebrate, you know, because it's a little different, I feel like, at Olympic trials, even though in 2021, it was obviously like a bit unusual because of COVID. But I feel like it was so special to have them like right there. And we were able to like celebrate as soon as we saw the results. But I just felt a lot of love and support from not only USA Swimming, but also like Team USA. And I also just thought like it was very special to me to be able to bring that kind of attention to swimming and also just open water swimming, because it is more of like a niche like sport. You don't hear about it much, so I thought that was pretty special.
That's amazing. The amount of times that Missy and I have said that's amazing at the exact same time is embarrassing if we told you the number. That's awesome. That's what I was saying instead. I mean, Katie, I'm so excited to talk today. I think I was telling Missy, and like the last time I talked to you or got to give you a hug was last summer. And it was so special because, number one, your name's Katie, so I already like you more. And number two, I just, you know, I want to talk about kind of this split mentality between swimming open water, also focused on in the pool with so many different events. I mean, you have Fly, you have 400 IM, you have Distance Free. And I just felt this just sense of pride. I just feel like 400 IM is obviously was one of my best events. And so seeing you be such a tough racer, obviously in all of your events, but being able to give you that award and hopefully something that's happening at trials where I'm saying, take my record. It's all you. Here's keep it in the Katie family. It was just so fun to be able to do that last summer. And I just, I'm so excited to watch you race in the next 6 months.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's so cool.
There's so much to look forward to. And I think a lot of people, especially that aren't a part of the swimming community, and even those that are within it, it's hard to almost comprehend how you are able to balance both open water and pool swimming. So I think that's kind of where we wanted to start is, first off, how do you balance both open water and pool training? What does that look like for you? And did you always know that you wanted to do both, or was open water or pool kind of something that developed over time to the point where you're like, oh no, like I can't just have one or the other. I'm really passionate about both of these.
Yeah. So, starting with the training, a lot of people think that for open water swimming, you have to practice in open water, which we really don't at all. Like I think I've probably practiced in an actual lake, like maybe like three times over COVID.
Wow.
So we do all of it in the pool. All of it is with our training program. It's just distance mostly. So we get to kind of experience both open water and pool swimming just like at practice, which I think is really cool. And you don't see a lot of club teams doing that. So I think that's something special about Sandpipers. And also I think I was actually thinking about this the other day, when I was younger, I want to say I was like full in on open water. Like that's what I wanted to do. And I didn't even know that like some swimmers did both. Like I didn't even know that was possible until I started seeing like Haley Anderson, Ashley Twitchell being able to swim, you know, at Olympic trials really, really well. And also go to the Olympics for open water. So they were two big inspirations for me for sure in terms of like just like knowing you can do both and knowing you can do both really well. But it is a challenge for sure. Like I remember at World Championships in 2022, there was the pool competition first and then I had the 10K afterwards. And so I swam the 1500 and the 4 AM at that pool. And then I had about 4 days, I think, until I had the 10K after the 4 AM. And it was just kind of like hard for me to grasp that I was like, oh, I have to like completely like switch over now because all of the pool team left, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was like just the open water kids were there. And it was like, oh, because I felt like so sad because I was like, I want to be with the pool team. Like, I want to go home. When they're going home and like, I want to, you know, celebrate, but I was like, I still have another race. And so like, that was a little hard for me, but I think I've definitely gotten better since then of like, handling both and being able to compete at both, because the Olympics will be that same format. It'll be pool racing first and then, open water afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, tell us, you know, you've talked about this in interviews where, you know, you're already on the team for open water for those who didn't already know this, but you're still focused on June, which is trying to make the team in your other pool events. How do you manage that kind of split mentality of like, oh, amazing, I'm already on the team, but I still have a lot to do for the pool side?
Yeah, I think that a lot of that just goes back to like what goals I have for myself. And it's kind of like a split sheet almost. Like I have my open water goals and then I have my pool goals. But after I had qualified for the team in open water, which was like totally unexpected, I did not think that I was going to do that then and there. But honestly, that worked out for the absolute best because I think qualifying, like a year before the Olympics was really like kind of important in this whole process because it gives me time to be like, okay, I can kind of not worry about having to make the Olympic team in that, and I can just focus on pool trials and being able to like try and qualify in both. So I think after I had qualified, I was a bit more relaxed and just more at ease with my pool goals because I didn't have to worry about trying to like balance both of them. Although I am still like a bit anxious about it because if I do qualify in the pool, I'm gonna have to like, just kind of like reestablish where I'm at and like refocus about my goals at the Olympics. So I think that's super challenging, but it's also really fun, and I try and take all of it in because like this is such like a once in a lifetime opportunity, so I'm just having fun with it.
That's so good to hear, especially, I mean, my gosh, Katie, you're what, 17 now? Yeah, 17 years young and already accomplished so much. But I think that's such a good point you bring up, is so much of the intensity of trials is just the pressure of making the team. And so I think that that does give you an awesome advantage of just that little bit of reprieve of you're on it. You've made the team, and obviously there's other goals that you have and you still want to work towards, and there's still going to be a bit of that pressure there. But I think that is really going to work in your advantage to be able to take a little bit of a deeper breath than those that are around you and know, you know, you've done a partially what you've set out to do, and you can kind of keep that having fun mentality, which makes me so happy. And the example you're setting, you know, you talk about Hayley Anderson and Ashley Twitchell, who we're massive fans of here. And that's, you know, the ball's coming into your court a little bit of that. And I believe you would be the first US woman to compete in the same Olympics in open water and pool swimming, if that's something that you accomplished this summer, which is so incredible and something we're cheering you on so loud to do. Are you thinking about that as you're going into this, or are you so just solely focused on your goals and what you want to do for yourself?
Yes, it does weigh in my mind a bit of just like because that was a goal of mine was competing in the same Olympics in both sports. So that is a goal in my head, but like honestly, it's sometimes you just can't think of it like that. You just have to focus. You just have to kind of like compartmentalize, so I just try and focus as much as I can just on pool swimming. And because the trials are they're just it takes all of your energy, all of your focus. It can't be worrying about a title or some like accolade. It's just got to be focused on what you have to do there and just doing it with a positive attitude and as little stress as possible.
Yeah. I actually, as I'm sitting here thinking, people who are not in the sport of swimming probably don't even realize, like when you said they're different sports. I mean, open water and pool swimming are literally
Different
different
sports.
sports. I mean, can you tell us how you approach, like when you're standing, not even on the blocks, right? Like on the dock, when you're standing on the dock versus standing on the blocks for, a 1500 meter freestyle. Is your mentality the same? Like, walk us through kind of the different mindsets for the different sports.
I mean, I would like to say that open water, I feel a lot more chill, but I always think that until I'm on the dock, like you said.
Like, I'm
Like,
actually
I'm like,
not chill.
oh my gosh, I'm about to do this. But it's like the lead up, just even the lead up to the race is so different for open water versus pool swimming. Like a typical pool swimming routine for me would be like, get to the pool, warm up, put my tuxedo on, you know how it goes. Be able to get in again, just kind of like feel the water. But with open water, I just get there. I already have my tuxedo on. I
Wait,
do a bit of like,
back up.
yeah,
You
you.
already, so you, what do you change in the hotel?
So it depends on like how much time we have until we have to like be in the call room. But 90% of the time, I'd say I show up with my tech suit like halfway on, and then I'll put the straps on later because you have to put like Vaseline on under your straps so they don't chafe. You have to like put your timing bands on, tape them up, tape your goggles onto your cap, do whatever. And so usually with open water, I'll get there and just do like stretching. And then I don't even get in. Like I don't even get in the venue to like warm up. So it's just like I try and get the best on land warm up as I can before I like swim for 2 hours. And
what does that look like?
They're very different. Very, very different in terms of preparation for sure. But I'd say in terms of like a mindset, I don't know. I just like the 1500, I tell myself like, well, you know what? It's actually kind of different the more I think about it, because open water, like I'm constantly thinking during the race, like the whole 2 hours is all about strategy, right? So my brain is like constantly going, but for the 1500, you kind of go in like autopilot. Like it's just like,
I would think it would be opposite. That's fascinating to me.
So yeah, you need to say I have
keep going.
So many following questions to that. I'm like, yeah. I mean, what? Like, I've actually always thought this of open water. It's so unique. It's. I mean, it's similar to what I've now experienced with a marathon. Right. It's just so long. Mm-hmm. So you're standing there and you're like, right. Oh my God, there's gonna be hours of time. But I'm not world class in terms of running. But when you're, what is going through your head in terms of the other people around you, your strategy, like walk us through minute by minute mm-hmm. for the whole 2 hours of what you're thinking.
you want to have like a sort of visualization in your head, right? But you can't with open water because it's not gonna go the way you think it will. So I always try and have my like most ideal race visualized, my least ideal race visualized, and like just try and think about all the things that could go wrong, but also all the things that could go right and how I would kind of handle that. So I'm not caught off guard during the race, because you like it's really easy to freak out there. Like it's really easy to just get caught up in everyone around you, because it is physical. Like it is extremely physical, especially internationally, when it's just most of the time it's pretty crowded races versus here in the States, just because a lot more people do it in Europe and whatnot. So it's a lot more aggressive, and that was something kind of hard for me to overcome in open water, is the aggression part of it. Mm. It's like, I'm not big on like the fighting and like trying to like beat each other up. I just rather be like, okay, everybody pick a line and we'll like go this way. But it's
you really
so
give off
right?
aggressive
like
fighter
so
vibes.
Yeah,
though.
Like I'm actually shocked by this, Katie. Like you're not throwing punches and elbows. What?
Unfortunately not.
Are there certain athletes where you know going into that, hey, that person's really aggressive. If I get near them, I'm going to get an elbow to the eye. You know those people based on your face right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're getting the soft smile.
I'm not
going to
say who.
But... No, I'm not. I'd be the same. Like I would not want to be anywhere near that person.
I mean, right. I, like Katie, am a very violent, aggressive human. So I'd get right up next to them and be like, what you got?
It's just such a, I mean, that and water polo, it seems just, yeah. Like, and I'm assuming that happened to you, like the first time that happened to you, what is your emotion? Like what's going through your head?
Well, my first international race was in Abu Dhabi and I was 15. That was the December after the Olympics. So I remember that race. Oh my gosh, probably the worst race I ever had. My first half of the race was like great and I felt super good, but the last half I just completely ate it. I think I just, it was my first one international, just kind of learning all the things. And I remember just like the aggression and I was like, what the heck is that? I was like looking at the official boat, because like there will be a boat that goes alongside like the lead pack. And they say that if you get hit to just kind of like yell. And like be like, hey. So I was trying to like draw attention to it. I was like, hey, like she's hitting me. But they don't care. I mean, like they could give them a yellow card or a red card, but with all of us being so close together and swimming so close together, it just looks like one big pile of summer. So it's like,
so hard.
You can't really be calling things out. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, I just, that was really hard for me to handle there.
Is a yellow card like a, like in soccer, it's like a actually, I know soccer really well, mm-hmm. but like, is it a warning and the red means you're kicked out?
Yeah. So yellow is just like a warning, or they'll just like blow a whistle or something. Yeah.
Oh.
Have you ever gotten a yellow card?
Ooh.
Mm-mm.
I'm 0% surprised.
I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep my resume clean.
This is the kind of sportsmanship we love to see.
Yes. Yes.
It's already, I feel like I'm learning so much about open water. And that was, I mean, obviously we're so excited to talk to you for so many reasons, but when we were prepping for this, that was a huge piece of it is even as pool swimmers our whole life, there's so little we know about open water. And so it's so amazing that you have such an amazing voice and that you're such an incredible advocate for this sport and helping people learn more about it. Maybe if you wouldn't mind, walk us through a kind of shorthand version of what a race looks like, start to finish, with feeds, with, you know, interactions during the race. You know, we talked a little bit about your prep going into it in terms of dry land, but maybe a little bird's eye view of this is what it, a 10K for Katie Grimes looks like.
Okay. Yeah. So typically 10K is about 5 to 6 loops. Most of the time it's 5, but it depends on how the venue's laid out. And so we all line up on a dock. According, we each get like a number. We get the numbers tattooed on our sides and on our hands and stuff. And then we all go off at the same time. So it's like you can imagine that first churn at the buoy is just one big
chaos,
like, just mess.
How many athletes are at that start? How many are on the dock going off at one time?
So it can be different because, like, at a World Cup, there isn't really like a limit. So it could be like, I mean, at this last one we did in Portugal, there was 85 girls.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my god!
And I was like, I think that's the biggest like turnout they've ever had. But for an Olympics, it's only going to be 22 girls.
Okay, that's good. Which is still a lot to all be starting at the same time.
Yeah, so then we all line up, start off at the same time. And for me personally, like, I try and stay out of the hustle and bustle of that first stretch as much as I can, just because that's probably when it's the worst, I'd say, is right at the beginning, because everybody's going to the same buoy. So it's like just terrible. So I try and stay wide on that one as much as I can, just try and stay out of it, because it does take a lot of energy to kind of like fight your way through it. And then I usually try and just build by lap, but it changes. Obviously it changes based on the group of girls in the race or based on how the race is structured. But usually by like the third or fourth lap, the pack starts to kind of separate and you'll have your top group of girls and then there'll be a bit more space and there'll be like the trailing packs. But I'd say at most races, it stays pretty tight just because everyone's pretty good. So for the most part, it doesn't thin out too much, but it just depends on the group of girls that are swimming in the race.
And how much is drafting a thing or important?
Oh, huge. It's huge. Drafting is so important in open water swimming. I mean, think about like, it's even like that in cycling and running too. Mm-hmm. Running too, right? Yeah.
I mean, yeah, based on my, yes, I think so. I've never done that as I'm not fast enough to do that. But I think, some of the elite, like they almost switch off with each other and kind of like as a courtesy back and forth. Does that happen in open water too?
Not too much. I mean, I'd say if you have a lot of teammates from your country, I'd say that there's a possibility that they could have a plan. But I'd say most of the time it's kind of like a free for all. And it is very energy consuming to be the one like leading the pack or to be pulling somebody behind you. It's just like a ton of weight that like you usually wouldn't be swimming with. So that is a big factor in open water swimming is positioning and just making sure that you're conserving your energy and hopefully getting a draft from somebody. And because that can, like, you may not think it's affecting you until that last lap when you try to go and you just can't, because you could have been pulling somebody around the whole race. Wow. So that last lap is usually like a sprint. it's hard to imagine like a sprint at the end of like an hour and 45 minutes of swimming, but it gets pretty quick. And especially going into that finish shoot, like it's just every woman for themselves. And like the race in Fukuoka, like it's crazy. Sometimes it can come down to less than a second. So you really have to like make sure that you've rehearsed your finish. And it's actually kind of a funny story because I've never like practiced my finish before, like because a few days before the race, they'll have the finish shoot and the touch pad like set up so you can practice your finish and swim in the chute and stuff. But I've never like, you know, practiced my finish before. But about like 2 days before my 10K in Fukuoka, my coach was like, why don't you take like 15 minutes just to practice your finish real quick? And I was like, okay. I was like, whatever, you know? And so I did. So I spent like 15 minutes just working on my finish, like working on the timing. And little did I know, like that's what
the race was
going
to come down to, a tenth of a second. Oh my
God. Wow. That's awesome. Can you explain, because there's people probably don't realize why that's so important, mm-hmm. of just how the touch pad is situated in an open water race? It's yeah. crazy to watch.
Yeah, because like usually in pool swimming, the touch pad is like water yeah. level, right? Yeah. But in open water, it's about like a foot above. So you have to like reach up and hit it. And because I don't know why they do it. I mean, I guess because you have to swim under it. But yeah, so a lot of times you can be coming into that finish chute and you reach for it and you just miss it. And you have to come up with your second hand. And that's like a whole like half a second right there. So I just worked on like being able to, if I miss it with that arm, just like reaching a little bit more and just barely hitting it. And that's what it like was. That's what it was. The girls next to me took an extra stroke and missed it, and I just like kept on going and I touched it, and it's just crazy. It's like crazy to think about.
And made your second Olympic yeah. team.
Insane.
17. Insane. It's so powerful to see the sport in young hands, but such experienced and mature hands. So I remember my second Olympics and coming back at 21 mm-hmm. and feeling like, you know, the comments I was getting about, oh, you're a veteran now and you're going into your second at 17. And I know you must have learned so much over the last 3 years. And so I would love to talk a little bit about that. And you've been mm-hmm. really open about your experience in Tokyo, and you had your fourth place finish in the 800, mm-hmm. which you've talked about being at the time you felt very disappointing. And mm-hmm. in hindsight, how you've kind of had to work through that and sort of have that new perspective of, you know, I was 15 at my first Olympics mm-hmm. and I got fourth. That's actually incredible. So I'd love to hear about your journey in that shift of perspective and what you're really taking from that going into your second Olympics, but also Olympic trials.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I feel like I've learned so much, but I also know that there's so much more to be learned, and that's like pretty exciting for me just to know that, you know, I've got so much more space to grow and so much more things to learn and like races to be disappointed with, you know. And I think that's where you truly grow as a swimmer. It sounds cheesy, but like it's true. Mm-hmm. Just like I've learned more from my bad races than I have had from like my successful ones. And I think that's just something that has taken a while to learn. Like I even like you said, I was just disappointed in Tokyo, and now looking back at that, I'm like, what? It's like I was just a kid, and like I should have been stoked with that. I mean, I just remember after my prelims, I had a best time after my prelims swim in Tokyo, and I was so stoked. Like I was so excited. I was like, this is gonna be the best finals ever. Like I'm so excited. And then I swam it that morning, and I was like, what? I was like, what happened? I was like, I had such a great prelims, and I went slower than I did in my prelims, so I was just so mad, and I was just really disappointed. I felt like I wasted the opportunity, but I was like, look how much I've learned. I mean, look how much how much better my world championships was in 2022. And I probably wouldn't have had that good of swims or felt that good about my swims if I hadn't had a little bit of a disappointment in Tokyo. So I think that's something that I like take with me every day, is just, you know, learning from Tokyo. And it's actually funny because at one of our pools we swim at here in Vegas, they hung up banners just recently, like probably like a week ago, for the Olympians from Las Vegas. So there's like Cody Miller, you know, gold medalist, bronze medalist, Erica Sullivan, Bella, and Bo Becker. So, and then they have me up there, and I'm the only one that says fourth place, but everyone else is like gold medal, silver medal, silver medal. And I'm like, and my coach asked me before they hung it up, they were like, he was like, you think it's okay if it says fourth place? And I'm like, yeah. I was like, yes. Come on. I was like, I'm proud of that. I was
good
like,
for you. Yeah, good for you.
I was like, he was like, okay. I'm like, facts are facts. You know, like I'll own it.
I love that. And I know you referenced Beisel's Silver Lining book as something mm-hmm. that helped pull you out of that and shift the perspective. You know, I relate to that a ton too. You know, my first team mm-hmm. was, I was 15, ended up getting seventh, and same thing, like the expectations, especially I think for Team USA, is like medal mm-hmm. or fail. And it hurts my heart to even say that, right? It's like, that is kind of the expectation that's set up back home, not within Team USA, but back home, anyone right. who's watching on TV. And it took me, I think, 2 weeks of sadness. And then I kind of got this fire in my belly of like, okay, I'm here to stay, you know, and I was mm-hmm. able to have the support of coaches and family. How you talk about your perspective shift, how long did that take you to realize, wow, this is amazing. I'm fourth in the world at 15 years old. And then let's move on and let's crush. What was that time period for you?
I'd say about the time I got back home and I was able to take a couple of days off with my family. I think it was more so just my family that kind of put that, you know, that perspective back in my head of like, hey, like, look at what you did. So I think it was more so just them like reminding me and just like giving me words of encouragement for sure. I think like a lot of it has to do with what the people around you are telling you.
Yes.
And I think that was a big component in that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That support system, especially during a time like that, when you're being so hard on yourself, to have that family, those coaches, teammates to give you that help and budge and perspective to give you the mm-hmm. bigger picture and the step back. And you've talked about this as well, as that kind of double-edged sword of, you know, it almost never being enough, which for an elite right. athlete is a good trait to have, because you're constantly pushing, you're constantly fighting to be the best that you can be, but it's so hard to balance that, right? And not let that mm-hmm. kind of take over and stop you from standing back and recognizing, oh, I have accomplished so much and I am proud of myself for what I've been able to achieve up until this point. How do you balance that double-edged sword of being the competitor that you are, being so fierce, so determined, mm-hmm. constantly wanting more, but also recognizing what it is that you've already achieved and still finding love and enjoyment in what you're doing every day?
Yeah. I don't think that I balance it very well. I just think
you've got time. I'm
welcome to the club. Right.
Yeah, you guys can probably attest to that. I mean, like, I used to look at some of these older veterans in the sport and think, man, like, I can't wait to be in their shoes and like be so knowledgeable and like know every in and out of this sport. But I'm like, does that ever come? I was like, the more I swim, I'm like, do they actually feel that way? Or is that just how I perceive them? You know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like something I've been thinking about lately, is like, as much as I want to get to that point of like being so, you know, experienced and so just well-versed in the sport, like, I don't think it's ever going to come, because there's always something to learn, you know, there's always something to get better in. And I think that's part of like the double-edged sword is like, yeah, I'm not satisfied, but that also is what keeps me moving in the sport. And that's moving in the sport is what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that progress that, you know, always getting better every day, or maybe just a little bit better every day, is what keeps me excited and what keeps me happy. So it's definitely a tough balance, and I don't think I balance it well sometimes, but I think I've been getting better, just being like more even keel with everything and not getting too high about things and not getting too low about things as well.
We are so excited and honored to be sponsored by Little Words Project, a company whose founder and purpose means so much to us and to others. Little Words Project is a company with handcrafted bracelets with custom words or sayings that serve as wearable affirmations of our worth and everything we are capable of achieving.
Each of their products have different inspirational words on them, and the idea is to wear your word for as long as you need it and then pass it on to someone who needs it more one day. The best part is they each have a unique code on their gold tag that can be used to connect your bracelet to their website, where you can track where it goes as it travels from wrist to wrist. I have a day-by-day bracelet that I gave to Missy, and it's a huge mantra for us as we started this podcast to take it day-by-day as we keep rolling forward.
I have never taken it off. It serves as such an incredible reminder to truly take it day-by-day and to be proud of everything we've achieved up to this point and hope to continue to do so moving forward. So what are you waiting for? These make the best gift for yourself or for others. They're available online at littlewordsproject.com or in one of their 12 brick-and-mortar stores across the nation and in over 900 Target locations as well. Happy shopping. If you follow Katie and I at all, you know that we are obsessed with cold water immersion or cold plunging. My experience began as early as 12 years old when our moms would go to the closest gas station after a final session at a swim meet and fill up the hotel bathtub with as much ice as they could carry so we could recover and be our best the next day.
Now, thanks to Edge Theory, this experience couldn't be any easier or more available. They have created a cutting-edge, all-in-one portable ice bath and hot tub that can cool the water to 37 degrees or heat it to 105 degrees, all within 2.5 hours. It also has a state-of-the-art filtration and sanitation system, keeping the water clean and ready to use 24/7.
For me now, cold water immersion drastically increases my energy, especially when I need a boost halfway through the day after chasing around my 2-year-old all morning. And I've really been focused on lifting, and it really helps reduce my muscle soreness.
For me, it's about the mental clarity in the morning. It's the first thing I do. I love getting something really hard and challenging done out of the gate, and that dopamine rush is amazing.
So click the link in our show notes to learn more and get your Edge Theory cold sub today.
I will tell you this, the fact, what you just said as a 17-year-old, I didn't say until I was 33 years old. So you say, do the older people have it? I think, you know, there's some people who do, there's some people who don't, but the fact that you already have this perspective and the way that you just phrased that, yes, you can use it to your advantage. It's more about how you're able to reframe it. So it's like, okay, I'm not satisfied. Why? Okay, it's the conversation that you're having with yourself and winning those conversations more often than not. And so it's pretty, I just got chills because it's really cool to hear you say that in that way. And it just gives me hope for the younger generation that you're going to be able to have a longer career where you feel prouder more of the time and probably look back on your time in the sport with more pride sooner. If that makes sense. Like, it took me a really long time to look back on my career and have this sense of, oh my gosh, look at everything I did. And so I'm just happy. I'm just happy to hear the way that you just said that. So
thank you. And that I really like hearing that as well, because sometimes I question if I'm like got something wrong with me, but I'm like, no, okay, everybody thinks that way, you know?
Yes.
And that's why it's so wonderful that you're willing to share that with us too, is for everyone listening that, you know, someone who's already been so successful, you know, what you're able to share about how you're feeling and your thoughts on things. It's so good for people to be able to sympathize with that and know that they're not alone in how they're feeling. And we're all so so similar and so different in who we are as athletes and who we are as people. And so we're going to feel differently about different things. But whenever someone's able to put a voice to the one that's in your head, it always just makes you take a little bit of a deep breath and be like, okay, I am not crazy. But I know that, you know, your teammates are super important to you as well. And we've talked about the kind of support system that you've had. And Katie and I would love to chat about your team, Sandpipers, and the culture that you guys have there, the teammates that you've swam with, and really how special that program has been for you and how it's allowed you to continue to grow and thrive in that environment.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been on Sandpipers, like that's where I started swimming ever since. I think I started when I was 7 or 8. So quite a long time I've been on this team. So I've been able to just kind of like move up through different coaches and kind of like just learn a lot of different things from this club team. Not also just swimming stuff, like also just like life, you know, and just like social lessons, I guess. I mean, like how to deal with like friendships and a lot of things that you would usually get in school, but since I'm homeschooled, like it's a bit harder for me to do that. So I think I've gotten a lot of that from Sandpipers and from, you know, just like club swim. Because they're, I mean, swimmers are so social. Like I think we're probably like one of the most social athletes, but, our club team is definitely different. I mean, I know there's lots of things that are said like in the media or whatever, but it's truly like such a special club team. And I think that it's such a, it just, everything happens for a reason. And I think I was meant to be on this club team, and it gave me so many opportunities that I would have never had. And just like also my teammates and being able to meet them, and a lot of the friends that I had made on this club team actually moved to Sandpipers. So it was like, if it hadn't been for, you know, Sandpipers drawing their attention, I would have never like made friends with them. So I think that's something else that's really cool. And those are friendships that I've been able to, you know, grow with and change. So I think that's really special, but also just, I think our environment is like definitely unique. I think that, you either like get it or you don't kind of thing, but, it's super special. I think that we're very hard workers. I think that work ethic is something that was like instilled in us very young. Like I can see it in like, I mean, when I was younger on the club team, I just remember like not really liking swimming and a little bit. I mean, I went through this phase, you know, and then I had a different coach. I had a different coach and I was like, oh my gosh, like she kind of like brought that love back for me. And I remember just being totally like refreshed in the sport. And I was young, like, so that was a really important lesson for me to learn at a young age. And ever since then, like, I've never lost that passion for it. And I think that Sandpipers is a big part of that reason. It's just because, you know, we're constantly working hard and we're constantly striving towards big goals. And, you know, I think that Coach Ron does a really good job balancing all of us and, you know, making sure we each feel special with our individual goals. Because not everybody has, you know, the same goals that they want out of swimming. So I think that he does a really good job with that. And we all get along really well as well.
Yeah, tell us more about that. You referenced the way that the media portrays Sandpipers. And I have a beef with the media with this one, because like, I'm just going to go at it for you, because, you know, when I was 15 at MBAC, we were doing 10,000 a practice, and it wasn't because, and you tell me if I'm wrong about you guys with this, but like, I did that solely because I wanted to. There wasn't anyone forcing me to do that. It was just the culture of, like you said, work your butt off, and working your butt off is fun. And so I think that in this social media world, in these generations, this is making me sound old, but it's so easy for people to look at social media, see people's highlight reel, and not have that same level of rip it, let's go, let's work our butts off. Yeah. And that's cool. Like working your butt off and sometimes being in pain and being uncomfortable is cool, because guess what that equals? Making an Olympic your second Olympic team at 17 years old. So I would love to hear your perspective on it and kind of why you feel like there's these swirling things of how much you guys do and how hard you work and balance and all the things that fly around.
Well, like social media is so weird. Yeah. Like I just want to say.
Nailed it.
Like I don't know how rumors start, or like, I don't know. I just think that social media can be super beneficial in ways, but in others, like, it's so unnecessary.
Yes.
And people's opinions that usually they would just keep to themselves, like, for some reason feel like they need to, you know, put it out there for everybody else to see and read. But I think that, yeah, Sam Fibers has definitely gotten, like, an interesting rap on, like, how much we do and some of the like rules that we have or whatever. But honestly, like you said, like everybody here is in it together. Like it's not like we're being forced for this or we're being forced to do that. Like this is just how we work. This is just how we think. And I think we know that it works for us. I think that's something else, is like we all just kind of trust in the process. Is like sometimes, you know, we could be doing something completely out of pocket, but we're like, oh, wait, we have to just like trust that he has a plan for this set, or he has a plan for this practice that has some, you know, significance in the long scheme of things. So I think that, yeah, the public needs to just kind of keep their nose out of it, because like they can't argue that it doesn't work. You know, they can't argue that it doesn't work for us.
Preach. So it's like, yes. I was like, I want her to set the record straight, because I just, you know, I also think that you're not going to burn out when what you're doing is something that you love. That's another thing, right? Yeah. It's like, it's very clear from the outside looking in, the way that you guys carry yourselves at meets, what you post, the positive things you post on social media, right? Is that you guys are having the best time. It may be like I want an example of an out of pocket set at Sam Fibers, but you know, like you might be doing crazy things, but you guys are doing it together. You have a smile on your face and it's a genuine smile. And I just have such admiration for that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You've mentioned before about wanting to swim in college. Is that still the case?
Yes, that is still the case. I would really like to swim in college. It's just, I think, it's just I put a lot of thought into it. You know, I just put a lot of thought into the decisions I make, and I think it's a really important decision. So I'll just take my time with it, and hopefully I will have like an idea of where I want to go soon. So
I think that's beautiful. That's definitely something to take your time with, not feel rushed into. Mm-hmm. And you have so much coming up ahead too. So it's always just kind of one step at a time, one piece at a time. And Katie and I both took different directions when it came to that, and both had our own wonderful experience that we wouldn't change for the world. So whatever you decide there is going to be, like you said before, everything happens for a reason. So it'll be whatever is meant to be. I really want to know, Katie and I both do. Yeah. What do you do to stay a teenager? How does Katie Grimes stay and act 17 years old?
That's a good question. I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I actually have a question around teenager is I don't know if you know this. I was homeschooled my whole life. Like all the way through high school. Yeah. I'm like, I hate when people, thank you for saying that. Some people are like, oh, I'm like, does that mean like, you know, the homeschool like stigma is like, that way you're like, makes sense. But no, but I similarly got to go to homecoming and prom and all of those things because of teammates. Have you been able to partake in a normal teenager experience of a prom?
No, just cause like there's kind of a small group that goes, and when they go, it's just like, they don't go to the actual prom. They just go and do other things.
I never got that.
Wait, what do you mean?
Yeah. Like they do, like it's on the night of prom, but they'll like go to dinner and then like go do like another activity. Like they won't actually go to the dance.
Do you dress up?
Yeah.
Dress
like it's the whole thing, but you don't actually go to the prom.
Take pictures maybe.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That seems crazy to me. Fun fact of the day. Katie learned something today. Yeah. Continue. Yes. Please, please share with us what you do just to be a teenager.
Well, let me think. Like, I mean, like, just like, I like shopping a lot. I don't know if that's like a teen. It's definitely not a teenager thing because you can shop at any age.
Yes, but, you can.
I think like, whatever it may be, like just going to the mall with friends or like little hobbies that like I'll have is just like, I get really excited about like cars and stuff. And I just recently got a classic Corvette. So I've been really excited about like driving that around, and it's just such a fun car. So I think that's one thing that keeps me like really excited and like, you know, passionate about other things as well. I guess spending time around, I have a nephew who's 4. I have a niece that just turned 2, and I just got a new nephew. And so I guess that like that keeps me young as well, just like keeps hanging out young. With them.
Gotta keep you young. You're I guess like there. A teenager, I guess.
Because I am the youngest in my family, so
and you have
I never
have you're like, one of 7 siblings, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the age big gap? Family. What's the eldest to your 17?
So my oldest brother and I are 14 years apart.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
And then
so like not too much. But yeah,
you would be the coolest aunt ever.
I don't know about that. I mean, I try my best, but I get like super like annoyed. Not annoyed. That's the wrong word. But like,
your like patience taxing. Is tested.
Annoyed can also be right, the right yeah. word. That's okay to use.
Yeah, my patience is tested. That's for sure.
That's but what toddlers are
I, like,
meant to do.
I expect them to like act like an adult. Yeah. I'm like, what? Why are you throwing your toys all over the place? Or, you know, why are you eating with your hands? You know, just like, I'm like, come on. But and then I have to remind myself, I'm like, they're literally 5 years old. Like, it's okay.
Oh my gosh.
But I don't remind myself as much as my parents remind me. So.
Katie, manage your expectations. There too. Oh my gosh. Wait, can we go back to the Corvette? So are you interested in like the older cars and the different models? And I know people that work on the cars. What's your level in the car world?
So I do like classic cars. I really wish I knew like how to work on them, but my dad, he knows all about it. So I try to learn as much as him from him as I can. But I really just like the look of them, like, more. Like, I think they look really cool. So, I don't know how I got into that, but, like, before I got my license, I was just like, Dad, like, can we like, start looking at classic cars and stuff? And so we did. Like, we started looking around. And I don't know if you guys would know, or you might have heard of this car before, but my first classic car that we had gotten was a 1976 FJ40. It's kind of like a Jeep, but better because it's Toyota, and I just think it looks cooler. But so it kind of looks like a Jeep, but not really. And then my dad has a classic Bronco, which he's had forever.
Oh,
so that's been like kind of cool of us like bond over that. And then about like a year ago, I was like started looking at the Corvettes, and I was like, oh, Dad, I was like, I really want a Corvette. And he was like, okay. He's like, we'll start like looking. And I wanted to like, you know, I wanted this to be my thing. Like I wanted to like save up enough money and stuff. So we started looking around and we found one that was just perfect. Like it had everything I wanted. And it's a 1969. So it's pretty old. Like it's hard to find an old car that is like not rusted out, not like been in an accident. And so we found this one in California, and when we went there for Golden Goggles in LA, we went to go look at it, and the guy was super nice, just a super nice old guy, and I ended up getting it for him, so I was like so stoked about it, super cool.
That's awesome. That's recent then. I mean, you just got it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well, I so probably funny. Got like 3 weeks ago, maybe.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing! Yeah. You just see Katie cruising around.
Do you go fast? Do you go fast? Like, are you like I cruise around so everyone sees me and it's cool, or are you like?
Well, kind of like okay, so
she's just lean back. She was like 5 miles an hour down.
Yeah, I totally go like probably. I mean, I don't want to drive it like super fast just because I don't want to ruin it. Like, I don't know. I don't know much about cars, but I do drive it for the aesthetics 100% because I like the look of it. Like I said, like, it just looks cool. But this is actually funny because today I had morning practice and I did not know it was going to rain. So I wanted to drive my car to morning practice today. So I took it. And we had 5 to 7 this morning, so it was dark out. And I was driving it, and I got there, like, perfectly fine. And then when I was leaving practice, it, like, I don't know if you guys can see, definitely probably not, but it's been raining, like, all morning. And so when I got out of practice, I was like, oh, it's like, it's raining. I was like, oh, no. So I got in the car, and I was like, I don't even, like, is there even windshield wipers on this thing? I was like, do I know how to work the windshield wipers? So I was like, it was probably like sprinkling and I was freaking out. I'm like, oh my gosh. So I started driving and I was like, oh, you just pull this lever and this like thing comes out and the windshield wipers come out. So it was really cool. I was like, thank goodness they work. Because I was like, what if they didn't work? Because the minute I got into my neighborhood, it started downpouring and I was like, oh, thank goodness I only have like 2 minutes until I'm home. But yeah, I was like, well, probably should have checked the weather today.
Some of those things you don't think, you don't think to check until it actually happens.
Especially when you're excited. Like all you're like one track focus. Like I'm going to be in my really cool car. I'm going to drive to practice. Like you're not thinking about the weather.
Oh, that's so fun. All right, Katie, we finish off every episode with 3 questions that we ask every single one of our guests. So the first one is, what is a moment within the sport of swimming that has brought you the most amount of joy or happiness?
I would say probably just being able to compete at Olympic trials with my brother Sawyer. I think that was such a cool like opportunity, especially because in 2016 we went to Olympic trials, him and I, with my parents to watch our brother Carter swim. So that was like, and then he watched us in 2021, so I thought that was like a really cool like moment.
That's so special.
So special. All right, same thing but outside the sport of swimming.
There's so many. I don't want to choose.
You can do 2. There's no rules. You can do 2.
I have really fond memories of like our family, like anytime we get to do a big family like vacation too, or just kind of like break somewhere, like we'll go camping or we'll go to like the beach or something or Disneyland. So I think those are probably some of my like fondest memories of just being like all together as a family. I think those are probably my favorite.
Yeah. That's what I look the most forward to about the holidays, things like that too. It's just being together. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have, like, it's just the quality time of everyone being together and just being with each other and cherishing that. So I love hearing that. And our final question is, if you had to pick one word to encompass, you know, something that's been motivating you, something that you're striving towards, or something that just grounds you, what would that word be and why?
That is a tough question because there's so many words.
There's a lot of words.
But but I would say one word in particular that just reminds me every day of what I'm doing is probably the word progress. Just to, regardless of what kind of day I had, whether it was like just a bad day or like a medium day or a really good day, like I can just tell myself, okay, like, how did you progress? And whether it doesn't even have to be swimming, it's just like, how am I being a better friend? How am I being a better daughter, sister, athlete? Like, how am I being a better student? So I always try and look for something every day that I can work on and just remind myself to always be mindful of others and just like make sure that you're always working on yourself so you can be positive and hopeful for those around you.
You are wise beyond your years. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Katie. We had a blast talking to you. We know it's the holidays and it's Christmas training and there's a lot going on. So we appreciate mm-hmm. the time and the vulnerability, and we hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you guys so much. That was so much fun. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Katie. We'll see you soon, hon.
Yeah. All right. Happy holidays, you guys.
Thank you. Give your family our love. Okay. Tell everyone we say hi. And yeah, and everyone on the team too.
Okay, I will. Thank you guys so much.
Merry Christmas, honey. We'll see you soon.
Thank you so much for listening and watching Unfiltered Waters. We are so grateful for your support. If you could please hit that subscribe button on any of the channels that you're watching and maybe even give us a rating or review, we would appreciate it so much. Thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.